Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We're not gonna take it. Oh no! Oh wait, wrong song. That's Bob Seger. Not Twisted Sister.
I was born on that, and you know about
I wish I knew the words. I've used the song every week. I suppose I should look up the words, shouldn't I? Hi, Tim Andrews here. This is Trambles. This is a audio-only division of Radio Labyrinth Industries, Radio Labyrinth Podcast Industries. Radio Labyrinth brought to you by Radio Labyrinth, LTD, LLC, INC, Incorporated. We're not incorporated. We tried. I tried to do that. I wasn't very good at business. Not a business person. I don't know anything about business. I don't. What do you want from me? I did try to incorporate it, though, a long time ago. Did one of those LLCs, right? The L and the L and the C. Uh-huh. And then I just didn't know what to do once I incorporated. I have to do it again, though, for other reasons. But it has nothing to do with this. And as I say, it's neither here nor there. I had a great weekend. I hope you did as well. It is Monday. It is April 1st. April Fools. No April Fools. I've been fooled in the past by April Fools. I was fooled today by April Fools on X. I was groggy. I hadn't had coffee yet. The coffee machine broke, so I had to use the French press, which I don't like because it's just messy, and you get grains or grounds, not grains. You get grounds in your coffee. Look, it's just a big problem. Every coffee maker I buy has maybe a 3-year shelf life. The last one, okay, this one has 4 or 5 years because I bought it during the lockdown. When, you know, we all had to stay home so we didn't get COVID, at work. And I don't work at Starbucks, but if I worked at Starbucks still, or never did, but if I worked at Starbucks today, you can walk in. There's one in Tucker, not the one in downtown Tucker, but it's Tucker adjacent. As you're leaving or going out of Tucker, if you're headed on La Vista Road, you walk in there and it's like it's 2020. It's like June 2020 in there. Every person in there is wearing a mask. And it's weird. It's just weird. Young people. You see some older type of person. And I'm older. I'm 53. That's old. But older than me. You see them at the grocery store and they're wearing a mask. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. You're an older person. You might be susceptible. And then, you know, going back as long as I can remember, you'd see video of people walking around in Beijing. They're all wearing masks. Maybe they know what's what, right? But anyway, it's just off-putting to see like a 22-year-old at Starbucks wearing a mask. But don't we all wear masks? Masks. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hope you had a nice Easter, if you celebrate Easter, or lots of things were celebrated yesterday, but the most important, I would say, is probably Easter. If you're a Christian and you celebrate Easter, you do so by worshiping the false rabbit idol. And I don't know why we worship the rabbit. I don't know why the rabbit brings candy, chocolate, or other kind of candy. If your kid doesn't like chocolate, which my kid does not like chocolate, and I think it's because he's 3 and he doesn't have a great palate. Because chocolate is better than candy, right? I don't like candy. There's certain kinds of candy that maybe I'll eat, but I'm really not a candy fan. I don't like it. Maybe when I was younger, I liked Starburst, Smarties, things that were sour, right? But I didn't like that you got a lot of shit candy at Easter time. You got jelly beans. Jelly beans, you throw them away, especially the black one, right? No kid that I know ever ate a black jelly bean and went, oh, this is delicious. And then the white one, we're talking Brock's or Brack's or however you say it. Not the newfangled modern jelly beans that are mildly flavorful or something that you'd sit and eat. But I don't like candy. Jelly beans, Necco wafers, which were, I don't know, there are mini skeet targets. Just disgusting pieces of chalk that supposedly had flavor. And then you got an hour later, which was like a hunk of plastic, sticky plastic, an hour later. You can eat it now or you can throw it away later. You put it in your mouth for 10 seconds, spit it out. Or anything with coconut in it. And just all sorts of shitty candy that I remember that you would eat the stuff you liked. And then everything else got tossed. You know, it was a lesser Halloween. And everything was in a basket. You didn't have to go door to door. And until you're old enough to realize that the Easter Bunny is a dumb idea, even dumber than Santa. Santa Claus, actually, you know, you can say that it's a spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Easter is not a rabbit that brings candy to people. This, you know, Easter is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who after being dead for 3 days came out of his tomb and, I don't know, put on a jetpack and went up to heaven, told everybody to go to hell. You know, hey, you guys let me get crucified. And, you know, I got a jetpack here because I'm God and I can have a jetpack. And this jetpack, you know, and I can go into space or the clouds. And you can all just, you know, sit here and deal with the Romans yourselves, assholes. Oh, and before I leave, I'm going to have a rabbit stop by your house and give you sweets. Like Peeps and Robin's eggs. Robin eggs are good, though. They're the malt. You know, I like those little malted. I like Whoppers. And they used to have those malted things that you could, like, lick them and then rub them on your skin. And they would dye your skin. Anyway, I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't know a lot about Easter. You know, Ishtar and the solar system and all that stuff, astrology. You know, they were sitting around eating mushrooms thousands and thousands of years ago, sitting around eating mushrooms and trying to figure out why they were here. And here we are a couple thousand years later. We still don't know why we're here, where we go. We have ideas that we invented because a bunch of people took mushrooms, smoked pot, or ate cannabis, whatever. You know, they all got together, ate these plants and these funguses, fungi, and they, you know, came up with everything that we have today. But everything, they were smart and they were mathematical, and they knew all the shit, and they kept track of it, and they knew where the stars were going to be, and they knew when the eclipses were going to be. And they knew that it was springtime in if you were in the right hemisphere. Everything sort of happened the same way every year, give or take. And so they invented all these deities to go along with the things that they could see in the sky and record and, you know, write on a rock or press into clay. And they became religion. I guess. I don't know. Getting too heavy for me. But we did have a nice Easter. It's the first Easter where our son, you know, knew the Easter Bunny was coming the day before. And the first thing he said to me Easter morning when I went to wake him up was the Easter Bunny was in my bedroom. And, you know, I found that to be an incredible lie. I think he knew better than to tell such a lie because there's no way the Easter Bunny could have gotten in there because the Easter Bunny doesn't have hands. He can't just, you know, lift it up. But, no, he said the Easter Bunny was here. And I said, well, he hid everything really well because Daddy can't find it. Daddy can't find any of this stuff. Mommy is going to have to come home from work and find all your stuff that the Easter Bunny left for you. And so, you know, when she got home, that's what she did. We found his Easter basket that the Easter Bunny had left in the closet of our room. And he was quite happy. There were some cars in there, cars, the movie cars. There was some candy that he'll eat, like Sour Patch Kids and stuff like that, you know, that he likes. No chocolate. Bubbles, little toolkit. because his grandfather was a carpenter. So, you know, we want to get him interested in the things that our parents liked. And so he was quite happy with that. And then after the Easter basket and getting dressed, went outside and mommy had a little Easter egg hunt prepared for him. And he found all of his Easter eggs, and they either had money in them, coins, dollar bills, or they had cars in them, little cars. So he was quite happy. And he knew that the Easter Bunny had made one more stop for him out at his grandparents' house in Hiram, Georgia, where my dad and stepmom and my brother and his wife and their three children live. You know, they always, you know, the Easter Bunny and Santa always make an extra stop. Prior to that, though, while we were waiting for mom to get home from work, I wanted to put something on for him that was festive, you know, because at Christmas time, Gen X kids, I think, and maybe some millennials, I'm not sure. But I know Gen X kids for sure like to watch those Rankin and Bass stop-motion Christmas ones. Here comes Santa Claus. Or Santa Claus is coming to town. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Frosty, which the snowman, which was Rankin and Bass, but was a cartoon. Those are the three that I think I can still stomach. The Year Without a Santa Claus, I guess that one's okay too. But most of them stink. Little Drummer Boys don't. Anything that isn't the big three or whatever, it's just kind of bad. And that also goes for Here Comes Peter Cottontail. It's terrible. Here's the story. Peter Cottontail is a young Easter bunny who lives in April Valley, where all the Easter bunnies live and work. They make Easter candy. They sew bonnets. They decorate and deliver eggs. So they're elves. Colonel Wellington B. Bunny is retiring as the chief Easter Bunny. They have a hierarchy. I believe, you know, that they name their successor. So he wants Peter Cottontail to be his successor. And Peter has always wanted to do that. Peter, voiced by Casey Kasem. A young Casey Kasem, where he's all over the place. Who narrated Peter Cottontail in this? I'll find it eventually. It might be Danny Kaye. Anyway, there's an evil bunny. He's a villain named January Q. Irontail. And he's mean and evil, and he wants to be the chief Easter bunny so he can ruin it for everybody. Because a kid ran over his tail once, and he has, for some reason, a prosthetic tail made, prosthetic tail made out of iron. It's funny, though. His last name was Iron Tail. And then eventually he has an iron tail. Who would have seen that coming? And that is voiced by Vincent Price. And the other voices in this names you probably know. Joan Gardner. She's a voice actress. Paul Frees, who was an impressionist. And he did an awful lot of memorable voices. And you can look him up because, you know, here's the cast. Casey Kasem is Peter Cottontail. Danny Kaye is Seymour S. Sassafras. Colonel Wellington B. Bunny. Vincent Price is January Q. Irontail.
I'm a bad bunny. I'm Vincent Price. I'm a bad bunny.
Paul Frees is Colonel Wellington's assistant dad. At Thanksgiving table, Santa Claus, firefighter, rooster, all this other shit. Yeah, Santa Claus shows up. It's boring and terrible, and Gilbert wasn't interested, so we switched it back to cars going down a ramp into water, which is the least entertaining thing you can imagine that entertains our son quite well. He loves it. He's fascinated by it. Cars falling down in water, cars going down a ramp. Daddy, and that's the one where the guy goes, "Hello, friends. Let's find Cars the movie, Cars Pixar, Walt Disney, Donald, Daddy. Ha ha, yeah, Sheriff, Serge, Lightning McQueen, ha ha ha, yeah." And that guy has made more money in the last year than I've made in my entire life. And that's pretty fun, just to watch stupid cars go down a ramp. Then we went out to my dad's and we had a really nice dinner and all the kids had fun and I got stuffed and that was Easter. Happy Easter.
Not a happy sound, it was just... You just can't sing a depressing song when you're playing the banjo. You just can't go, oh, death and grief and sorrow and murder. When you're playing the banjo, everything's okay. Hey, Steve, your house is burning down.
Last night I watched the Steve Martin documentary. Steve. That's just, you know, it's called Steve with an exclamation point and then in parentheses or parenthetically, Martin. A two-part documentary on Apple TV plus Apple, whatever they call it, Apple TV. And it was really good, man. We talked about it on Radio Labyrinth proper last week, and we'll probably talk about it more this coming week. But it was awesome to watch all those clips. Jeff was right. Jeff Liebhoff made a great point. He goes, it's going to be great watching the first part. And then the second part is going to be probably less great because it's his movie career once you go through the 80s. But Steve Martin is one of those guys that I was young when he really took off. I was 5, 6, 7 years old in that wheelhouse. My mom loved him. She thought he was one of the funniest comedians ever. I never heard my mom laugh that hard at something on television. And he would be on a lot of variety shows. He was on Saturday Night Live. One of my first memories of watching that show was with her in our apartment. And she let me stay up and watch it. And hearing her laugh made me laugh, the arrow in the head and all that stuff. Obviously not getting the humor at that age. When I got a little bit older, I had Let's Get Small, the record that song that was playing or that bit that was playing came off of. And then after that, Wild and Crazy Guy. Those are the two records I had. I played them over and over and over and over and over, and I had them memorized. And then he sort of just never went away. And my mom did take me to see The Jerk in theaters. I must have been 8 or 9 years old when that came out. Now, she had already established that she would take me to see movies because I saw King Kong in the theater, which is the only movie that I ever saw in a movie theater with both of my parents. And what a drag to take a 6-year-old to see a King Kong movie where King Kong doesn't show up until hour 2. Because that's a long-ass movie. You know, you go to Jeff Bridges with a beard, Charles Grodin, you know, and what's-her-face. I'm really having a hard time remembering things these days. I really am. And Jessica Lange. See, I was going to Google it, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But she did take me to see The Jerk. I love The Jerk. And then it came out on HBO, which we had. And whenever it was on, watch The Jerk, watch The Jerk. And then eventually got the VCR, recorded it. I'm going to keep watching The Jerk over and over again. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And I'd known for a long time what kind of comedian Steve Martin was, that he had started out really writing, but I didn't know anything prior to him writing for the Smothers Brothers. I knew nothing about, and I'll talk more. Like I said, we'll talk more about this on Radio Labyrinth proper this weekend. But the thing about the documentary that struck me most is that it reminded me of the documentary I watched a couple weeks ago and the person who I interviewed from that documentary, Phil Hendry. The name of it was Hendry. So I'm finding similarities between Hendry and Steve. Those two documentaries. They're both people with brilliant comedy minds. They honed their craft. They didn't compromise their creativity. Their humor is who they are. And their humor doesn't have limitations. It's kind of inspirational to me because, if anything, I've been two things during my entire career and most of my life. And those two things are fearful and lazy. Fearful that no one will like me or anything I have to say, which causes hesitancy in saying things that I think might be funny. Not so much anymore. I don't really have that, especially when I'm doing a radio show and the microphone's open and I'm not worried about anything. I don't like having a camera on me. I hate that. Like, people can look at me. They'll know. And then the laziness is just, well, oh, I just, you know, I could do that, but right now I'm watching a YouTube video. Or I'm watching, you know, years ago, oh, I would do that, but right now I'm spending 6 hours looking for the, you know, the right dirty movie to watch or clip. I could do that, but I'm watching TV shows I've already seen 1,000. I could do that, but, you know, I don't feel like it. What if, and anyway, what if people don't like it? Why waste all that time? What if, you know what, I'll do it tomorrow. I have a couple of ideas. I'll get to it tomorrow. So the laziness and the fear, they complement each other quite well. And they both have been parasitically sustaining themselves on their host, me, for years. Years. I go back and look at stuff that I wrote. I have a lot of shit I wrote down, or comedy ideas, or things I thought were funny back in the 80s. And some stuff from the 90s. And you could tell that I got done with it. I'm like, okay, this is dumb. This is dumb. This is stupid. I'm done writing it. They got hit by a truck. That was my, and everybody got hit by a truck. That's how I ended stories that I was like, this is dumb. Instead of doing the work and seeing where it went. But a guy like Steve Martin kept detailed journals. He would write down, you know, whenever he thought he was successful, he'd write down when he wasn't successful and wonder why and what he could do to make it better. And he also wrote down his state of mind, and he had a philosophy for his life, and he was a philosophy major that helped him. And a lot of memories, not really memories, but he guided himself. He was his own critic. He was this and that, and that's why he became successful, because he never gave up. He had an idea. This is what I want to do. This is the kind of comedy that I want to do. This is me. This is me. Deconstructing entertainment, show business, and he did it. And by 1980, he had done everything he had set out to do in that area. And then, you know, of course, the next step was movies. Gary Shandling did the same thing. He always kept notes, and you can find that in his documentary or the books that are about him, is that he kept little detailed notes. Why did this joke work? Why didn't it work? You know, you need to be more confident. You need to smile more. And yeah, so Steve did that sort of thing, and that's how he got successful. Phil Hendry has hundreds and hundreds of characters and voices swimming inside his head, and effortlessly lets those out a few at a time, right? Five maybe tops in a room together, all having a conversation that is a legitimate conversation. It's all him. It's Phil. Every voice, every word is coming out of his mouth, from his brain to his mouth and out into the ether. Used to be on the radio. Now it's on a podcast. And you hear a lot of times people go, well, you know, the bit worked on the radio because the bit was making other people mad or tricking people who are dumb, who aren't as smart as me, to realize that this is a put-on and a parody of talk radio in itself. And I probably at one point thought that too. But I like to listen to his podcast where just it's all the characters and the premises are insane. And I think a lot of it has to do with all that shit's in his head. And he's got to find a way to get it out of his head. And he's making himself laugh and he's entertaining himself. And in the same way that Steve Martin was entertaining himself, Phil Hendry entertaining himself, it's rare for people to be able to do that and entertain other people, make other people happy, make other people laugh. And that's what both of them have done. You know, and I know I've said this, that I've wasted a lot of time, many, 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 many years, wasting time, not believing, not having the drive or the belief or fear or the worry of being judged or whatever. But it's stupid. It's really stupid. I know I'm funny to a degree. I know that I can say things that make people laugh. People tell me. And I know that I have tons and tons of shit swimming around in my head. So all I have to do is, you know, take inspiration from the people that, you know, I would say Steve Martin was probably my first favorite comedian. But by the time the 80s rolled around, he wasn't doing stand-up comedy anymore. And he kind of fell off. And that, you know, the Carlin became my next favorite. And Richard Pryor was my next favorite. Those two. And then the younger guys who came up in the 80s. Sam Kinison was a favorite of mine for a while. You know, and you have eras. You know, you have eras of comedy. If you're a comedy fan for, you know, most of your life, then you have comedians that you really love and comedians that you just stay with forever and can listen to over and over again. Okay, I'm sort of getting sidetracked here. But, you know, I did discuss with Phil Henry on the podcast, on the Popcast, which, by the way, is a name that I like, or I used to like, but I don't like saying it now, and I don't like using it, and I want to change the name of that show, the Popcast, which is on WSB. It's my radio show that becomes a podcast. First of all, I always fuck it up. Podcast, Popcast, Popcast, Podcast. They're too similar. There is a Popcast. There is a podcast of the Popcast. I don't like the name anymore. Now, it's a good name for a different kind of show. The original idea for radio or for Popcast, it was a great name. And Caitlin, my wife, came up with it. You know, after 2 weeks of me stressing and agonizing over what I was going to call that show, she just said it. Why don't you just call it this? And that just clicked with me. And I told my boss at the time, and my boss, that's a great name. But I don't think it fits the show. The show has really evolved into interviewing people and talking to people that I find interesting. Sometimes I challenge myself and go out of the wheelhouse, and I'll talk to TV people that I have no that I don't know. And even last year, and this is when I made the decision to start interviewing comedians that I had no familiarity with, and it ended up being great and inspired me to listen to them and become fans of those, and I'll get to that in a second. But what I do now is whenever I did anything, I would never listen back. I listen to every interview that I do, and I listen back, and I go, okay, I said this too many times, or I sounded stupid here. You don't have to fake laugh. You don't have to insert a mm-hmm. You just let it go. Let it go. And I love doing that, and I like cutting it up and doing the intros and the outros and then putting it out as a full interview as a podcast version. So I need a new name for it. I do. I just need a new name for it, but yeah, we'll worry about that later. Now, when it comes to this podcast, okay, hold on to that thought because I want to get back to the when you have eras of comedy and doing the interviews on the podcast. Doing interviews on the podcast, and I've told this story before, got me interested in younger guys doing comedy, namely Dusty Slay, who I saw over the weekend with my friend Jamie Self. Jamie's a guy that gave me a job. He was a manager at Amaza Pizza, which is in, or it's gone now because the rent's too damn high down there in Edgewood. You got to pay riot tax. But anyway, he was a kitchen manager down there, and he was friends with another person that worked there, the hostess, who was an intern at the Regular Guy show, and he was a fan of the Regular Guy show. He's a fan of mine, and she said she called me one day. She texted me and said she worked with a guy who was a fan, and I said, "Oh, is he hiring?" So he ended up being sort of my boss, really, you know, a manager at the very least. And I started working there. This was after I got fired from Rockwood 100.5 and was working part time over here with Eric doing the podcast at WSB before we came full time. And I've told this story before too, but Jamie's a great guy. And it was just coincidentally the first time I interviewed Dusty. Once I got finished, I got a text from Jamie. "Hey, you've ever heard of this guy Dusty Slay? He's really funny." And I said, "No shit, I just interviewed him." And then so fast forward a year, I interviewed Dusty again, and I get set up with tickets to the show. And I got to say thank you to him and to the booker, Alan Rommelfanger, who, you know, Dusty's, they gave us great seats, man. Row D, and not too bad. The only weird thing was is that, you know, two-thirds of the way through Dusty's set, there was an empty seat next to me. This guy just walks in, sits down. He hadn't been there for any of it. There were four comedians total, I think, before Dusty, maybe three. And he just sits down, and he's doing this noise. It was just fucked up. It was bizarre. And I got all paranoid, like, this guy's coming in here to do something weird. Instead of thinking logically that he probably worked for the venue and they had an extra ticket and they came back in there. But overall, my point is, and getting to the point because I'm starting to ramble here on the Trambles show, that fuck it. It's not too late. Just start doing stuff. And what I mean by what I'm going to do on this show is I'm going to use it to do stuff that I think is funny. And a lot of that stuff's going to incorporate nostalgia, and it's going to be parodies, and it's going to contain references to the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of media that I've consumed. Some of it will be produced, some of it will be stream of consciousness, and sometimes, like this episode, there won't be anything. I'm pretty sure that since I've continued doing this without ghosting or stopping, at least to me, it's a victory. Because, you know, I start things, I'm like, I did two or three, I could take a break. But this is, I think, the 17th week in a row I've done this show. And I'm happy about that. And so I'm going to keep, I'm going to continue doing it. And I'm just going to do bits and stuff and throw them in here. And we'll see if people like it or not. It gets about 200, 250 listens as opposed to our YouTube and Radio Labyrinth proper, which combined now is getting almost three when you combine the audio only and the video. But we'll see how that lasts. We're surfing the algos, surfing the algorithms. And without compromising what we are, we've been a lot of different things, the Radio Labyrinth podcast. This is our eighth season, right? So, or ninth season. And we've been a lot of things. We've interviewed celebrities. We love doing that. We initially were just always talking about TV and a little bit of pop culture. Then the Hurricane Trump hit, and then everybody went their own way, and then the pandemic hit. You know, there's all these benchmarks of when things happened. And I like what we're doing now, where we're talking about trending things that are in the wheelhouse of our age group and in our demographic and stuff. You know, podcast, see there you go again. See, I got to get that out of there. The podcast culture, the world that we live in now, where, you know, there's some TV shows, most of them not on regular TV. And then, there's the podcast world, and then there's the audiobook world, and then there's the pop culture world. So everything's just kind of where it is. And a lot of people talk about things. And there is an industry now of people who talk about what other people talk about. I want to kind of be in the middle of that. And also make fun of it, because it's all ridiculous that we listen to other, we give people money to listen to them talk. As opposed to the old days when you probably had maybe three or four, if you're into that sort of thing, three or four different talk shows that you would listen to for free on the radio. But now, if you want to find something that interests you, that isn't sports or politics, then you got to go to the podcast universe. And I've always been a person that like listening to talk. Radio especially. And I still do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I listen to old bits still when I go to sleep at night. And I'm going to start doing an audio book, and I got to get to work on that. And not my book. An author who I'm going to interview on the podcast is writing a book. He's a cousin of mine. He's an author. His mother was an author. She's still alive, but she's just not able to write anymore. He's writing a sci-fi series that's actually pretty interesting to me. And so I'm going to try to do the voices for that, and I'm going to get to work on that when I can. So anyhow, that'll about wrap up this episode of the Trambles program here, part of Radio Labyrinth proper and all that jazz. But I do want you to know that I'm going to be doing all sorts of shit, talking, and I got ideas and stuff, and I'm going to be working on them shits. And I want you to know that the Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, they sponsor the Radio Labyrinth program, including this one here. They got good pizza, and they got good gyros. And they're in Conyers, Georgia. So you go out there, and you tell them you heard about us on Radio Labyrinth, and you get yourself a free dessert. Hey, what could be worse than that? Nothing. I mean, what could be better than that? Nothing. There you go. Don't forget they're open for dine-in and take-out Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and noon to 9 p.m. on Saturday, and they're closed on Sunday, so you can celebrate Visibility Day. Also brought to you by LDI, Repro Printing. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, then give LDI Repro Printing of Athens a call. They've been in Athens since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Oh, I just pooped my pants. All right, time to go. No, I didn't really poop my pants. Nor did I poop on the side of the road on the way back from Dusty Slay at Woodruff Farts Center. Woodruff Farts Center. Thank you for listening. Don't forget every Sunday or Saturday morning, you can watch Radio Labyrinth Proper, produced by Dustin Lawler, on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Share with your friends. Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.